Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Liberian President Charles Taylor has now formally resigned his office. Taylor will reportedly now accept exile in Nigeria. During his resignation speech earlier, the former warlord and indicted war crime suspect said he'd put his record up against any leader in the international community.
History will be kind to me. I have fulfilled my duties in the interest of the Liberian people.
Taylor said he will accept his role as being a, quote, sacrificial lamb, but he said his departure, as well as the arrival of international peacekeepers, will mark a rebirth for Liberia. He said the fighting between government troops and Liberian rebels could continue, but, quote, the people must matter. Speaking to criticism of his human rights record, meanwhile, Taylor said, quote, I may have stepped on a few toes, but I don't care. The inquiry into the death of British weapons expert Dr. David Kelly has started hearing evidence today. The latest on that story from correspondent Suzanne Chislett in London.
The first witness to testify was Terence Taylor, a former military officer who knew Dr. Kelly since 1985. Speaking via video link from Australia, he told Lord Hutton he'd last spoken to his friend 4 days before his death and said at that time Dr. Kelly seemed in a normal state of mind and spoke of his hopes to return to Iraq. Ministry of Defence official Richard Hatfield told the inquiry Dr. Kelly knew the rules governing talking to journalists and had broken them. He also revealed the weapons expert had been specifically working on the plans to find weapons in Iraq and had the highest level of security clearance. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And yet another American soldier has been killed and two others wounded after a bomb attack in the Iraqi town of Bakuba. The soldiers from the 4th Infantry Division were guarding a local police station when a bomb exploded in front of them. Also today, American forces launched Operation Ivy Lightning, which will use helicopters and heavy armor to try to track down Saddam Hussein as well as his followers. The operation is centered about 80 miles north of Baghdad.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like, but on the inside, I'm all, just because I look like, doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. Really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
California Governor Gray Davis says the continuing recall election process is an insult to the millions who voted for him in November. He told NBC's Today Show earlier the recall effort is going to cost the state about $70 million at a time when it's already seriously strapped for cash. Might want to watch what you tell your lawyer. There could soon be a change in attorney-client privilege rules. The New York Times says government regulators and prosecutors are pressing the American Bar Association to consider changing its rules. The proposed changes would give more discretion to lawyers who feel obliged to share their clients' secrets.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
NATO has taken command now of the International Peacekeeping Force currently in Kabul, Afghanistan. It's the organization's first ever operation outside Europe in its 54-year history. The new commander from NATO, Lieutenant General Getz Glimeroth, insists the mission in Afghanistan will not change.
Yes, ISAF's name and mission will not change. NATO will operate under the ISAF banner and under an unchanged United Nations mandate, i.e. to assist the Afghan transitional authority in maintaining a secure environment.
NATO took over the command from the International Security Assistance Force, which has been in place since the United States and its allies invaded Afghanistan in late 2001. The open-ended command of 5,000 peacekeepers has already sparked debate whether NATO will be operating beyond Kabul. The current interim Afghan government and its aid agencies are urging it to expand quickly. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. A Ragtop Day is my favorite road trip tune. But before you put your convertible top down, you should know how to keep it up. When I come back, I'll give you the buzz.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
Roger Maharis did it on Route 66, and Jimmy Buffett perfected it on A1A. I'm talking about cruising with a top down, the perfect summer sport. For a major league convertible top, bathe it with car wash, never detergent. Use a soft cloth or sponge, except for plastic rear windows. They're so pliable that even a sponge will scratch. And save your elbow grease for your car. Waxing vinyl will dry it out. Instead, use a vinyl protectant. Now you're ready for championship cruising. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. Day 183 of the search for weapons of mass destruction. Day 699 of the search for that man whose name has not passed the president's lips in more than 4 months. Osama bin Laden. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast. On terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, broadcasting live on the Internet from radiopower.org, IEAmericaRadio.com, Live365.com, and with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Our quote for the day, in a time of turbulence and change, John Kennedy said, it is more true today than ever that knowledge is power. We have a fascinating and interesting day today. In our first hour, we're going to talk about corporations and their takeover of the Bush administration, and the Bush administration then's song and dance on their behalf to destroy the remnants of objective science within this government. In our second hour, we're going to be talking about the balance of powers between the judicial and the executive. Is again, the Bush administration trying to wipe out an independent judiciary. This is really the biggest revolution in American government since 1803, when John Marshall in the Marbury versus Madison case took upon the Supreme Court the right to overrule the legislature, which made Thomas Jefferson absolutely nuts. I'm going to tell you about this in our second hour, and what the Bush administration's doing that would make Jefferson we'll get to that in a second hour. And in our third hour, do we hurt all people in a democracy when minorities are exploited? The answer is yes. But how? How is this happening? How is it happening, particularly with regard to housing in the United States? We're going to have a guest in our third hour who's going to be talking about those things. In our chat room, and by the way, if you'd like to get to the chat room, go to TomHartmanShow.com or LiberalTalkRadio.com and click the chat button. That'll take you into our chat room, and it'll take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe, which I run, and whose chat software is just great. So we're using the chat room there. Click chat, and boom, you're in. And you don't have to join anything. You know, you have to sign up for a screen name, but there's no cost for it or anything like that. And and there's a whole bunch of folks already in there. Interesting discussion. And one of them, and I printed this out, and I didn't catch the person's name who posted it. Let me just real quickly see if I can go back and get it, because I really do like to honor. Here it is. It was from Examine Reality. Examine Reality is one of our regular members, and Examine Reality says, Tom, if you are correct that the Bush administration is buying oil at an inflated price, which I pointed out a couple of days ago, and one of our listeners called up, and since then several people have emailed me information about Koch Industries, K-O-C-H Industries, from whom the Bush administration is buying oil, for whom Ashcroft dropped a bunch of indictments as soon as this particular current administration came seized office in their coup d'etat of 2000, that this company is being paid very high inflated prices for oil. Not inflated, but I mean, you know, the market right now is tight. And by rebuilding the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, that is by buying lots and lots of foreign oil and pumping it into the ground right now here in the United States, which, you know, arguably is a good thing to do. Although the reserves aren't dramatically low. They're at a five-year low, but they're not like at a 20-year low. By buying this stuff, number one, the Bush administration is enriching a corporation that he's in bed with. And number two, he's building up a stock of oil so that next year he can drain that stock of oil into the market, dropping the price of oil and radically stimulating the economy. So that was my point a couple of days ago. And I wasn't saying that this is necessarily some deep, dark Machiavellian plan that Karl Rove put together, although, frankly, it wouldn't surprise me. But it certainly has the potential to be. And I was just sort of wondering out loud, I wonder if this is what these guys are up to. Anyhow, our guest, Examine Reality, says in our chat room at TomHartmanShow.com, he says, if you are correct that the Bush administration is buying oil at an inflated price and planning to release it prior to the election to create a false bump in the economy for political gain, then what would be the appropriate action for a Democratic candidate? Perhaps an early call to release the oil reserves after building them up. Just knowing the administration's plan is not enough. Americans will be happy for a better economy, even if it is a mirage, and this may get Bush elected in 2004. Well, that's one of the reasons that I thought it was useful to point it out, because it's the kind of thing that there's almost nothing you can do about if you're not in control. I mean, the bottom line is that if a party controls the presidency and the Congress, particularly the presidency these days, given how the executive branch has been grabbing more and more and more power, particularly since 2000, radically, quickly, that if you have that power these days, there are ways that you can manipulate things on a time-sensitive basis. You want to see something really interesting? Get a graph of the economy or just of the stock market for the last 60 years, and notice how it swings around every presidential election. That's worth a whole show in and of itself. But anyhow, my answer, Examine Reality, is I don't know what a Democrat could do. If the economy gets better, it's sort of like cancer. You know, there's all these carcinogens in the air. And the administration, of course, with their Clean Skies Initiative, another one of these great, it's like the Bush lie of the day, there's just not enough days. The Clean Skies Initiative, which is actually going to make our air dirtier and more poisonous. When somebody gets cancer, with a very few rare exceptions where you know what caused it, it doesn't have a little flag on it that says, I was caused by breathing the air from that power plant upstream or upwind. Or I was caused by the arsenic in the water supply. It doesn't have little flags on it. It can't talk. It's just there. Similarly, when the economy gets worse or gets better, you can get a dozen different economists to give you a dozen different reasons why it happened. And the reality is that it's not even the economists who get listened to. It's the politicians or the pundits on Fox News and whatnot. So, you know, I'm expecting some sort of a spin, some sort of a scam, but you know, I may just be paranoid. Who knows? I hope so. Similarly, along the same lines, Bob Novak, a couple days ago, Bob Novak, the guy who might go to prison for outing a CIA agent. And I'm just astounded this isn't getting more play in the press. I mean, this guy and apparently two Bush administration officials, in an attempt to smear Joe Wilson, the U.S. former U.S. ambassador who on behalf of Dick Cheney went to Africa to check out the uranium claim and back long before the State of the Union came back and told Cheney that, you know, Saddam has not been trying to buy uranium. Joe Wilson, this former CIA agent, apparently is married to a woman who is a CIA agent. And an undercover agent. And an undercover agent who's involved in anti-terrorism work. And so these two officials of the Bush administration, in an effort to punish Wilson for his op-ed in the New York Times for coming out and speaking the truth about this administration's lies, outed his wife. This may cause the death of agents in the field, it may compromise investigations, and it's a felony! Any word about it on faux news? I don't think so. Roger Ailes is not going to promote this one. So anyhow, along those same lines, we had Scott Ritter on this show a while ago, and it brought to mind a time when he and David Kaye were both on, I believe it was on Faux News, and they were both being interviewed by somebody, and at one point Ritter gets into this thing about, you know, the reason that he had fired David Kaye was because Kaye was a CIA agent who was pretending to be a weapons inspector, and he was actually doing espionage in Iraq. This was back in the 90s, and it sabotaged Ritter's investigations because the Iraqis found out about it. And Kaye essentially said, yeah. So we got this guy who was a former CIA agent and saboteur. He's involved in the Science Applications International Corporation, SAIC, which was hired by the Pentagon to create a replica of a mobile weapons of mass destruction lab. Interesting. And they had hired a designer and advisor for that lab. This was back a while ago, named Stephen Hatfill, the guy that everybody's wondering about, or at least the object of interest, according to the Justice Department, with regard to the anthrax investigation. David Kaye hired this guy to build a mobile lab that could make anthrax. Well, anyhow, David Kaye, corporate links, administration links, CIA links, some suggesting that he was involved in the faking of intelligence back in the 90s. According to Bob Novak, the guy who has outed the CIA agent wife of Joe Wilson, David Kaye over in Iraq has found weapons of mass destruction. Sure enough, folks, he has found them. However, George Bush personally said, let's not tell the American people about this yet. I guarantee you that sometime in August, September, October, maybe after the California elections, or the next time there is some particularly juicy and bad revelation about the Bush administration, within 24 hours, David Kaye is going to pop up going, hey, look what I found. Remember the old joke, when will we find the weapons of mass destruction? As soon as FedEx can get there with them? Looks like maybe it's coming true. David Kaye over to Iraq, finding perhaps what even brought to the party. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, 1-800-TALK-YES. We'll be right back. Should corporations be allowed to continue to influence politics? We'll carry on in this vein in just a moment.
The following conversation is real. It took place on April 12th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Orlando. How may I help you?
Hi, my name is Stacey Noble, and someone broke into my back window.
Okay, did you call the police? You're my first phone call.
When you have OnStar, no matter where you go, a live advisor is available to help 24 hours a day.
Okay, what I'll do is contact the police and I'll conference you.
Okay.
Police 911 emergency. Hi, my name is Orlando. I'm calling from OnStar. I have a subscriber on our line whose vehicle was vandalized. Now, conference her in. That way she can get more information from her.
Thanks a lot.
Hello, Mrs. Noble. I do have police on the line.
Hi, Mrs. Noble. What happened?
Well, I parked the car at the intersection of Broadway.
OnStar is available on the Saturn View, Ion, and L series. To learn more, visit your Saturn retailer or Saturn.com.
Was there anything else I can do for you at this time, Mrs. Noble?
I just love you so much. I can't even believe how many times I've been thankful for OnStar.
If you need any more assistance from us, just go ahead and give us a call.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. 96 Steel today.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speech Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
You know you did, you know you did, you know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live and let die.
Linda. Should corporations be put to death when they misbehave? Well, according to the state of Wisconsin, from the middle of the 19th century, when the state of Wisconsin became a state, I don't have the exact date here, up until actually 1954, when they caught this law and removed it from the books, the penalty for violating this law in the state of Wisconsin was, and I quote, "If a domestic corporation, it may be dissolved. If a foreign or non-resident corporation, its right to do business in this state will be declared forfeited." Now, what was it in Wisconsin? And by the way, there were laws like this in every state in the Union. What was it that was such a crime that the state of Wisconsin said that a corporation would suffer the death penalty if they committed this crime? Allow me to read to you the one long sentence which constitutes the entirety of the law. This is section 4479A, section 1, chapter 492 of the laws of the states of Wisconsin, amended in 1905, and I quote, "Political contributions by corporations. No corporation doing business in this state shall pay or contribute or offer consent or agree to pay or contribute directly or indirectly any money, property, free service of its officers or employees, or thing of value to any political party, organization, committee, or individual for any political purpose whatsoever, or for the purpose of influencing legislation of any kind, or to promote or defeat the candidacy of any person for nomination, appointment, or election to any political office." No corporation doing business in this state shall. In other words, it was a crime punishable by death to the corporation to stick its nose into politics. So how is it that we have a situation today where the President of the United States is a former corporate officer? Didn't even study the law in college, studied business. The Vice President has a degree in political science and is a former businessman. Neither one of these guys studied the law, and yet they're administering our laws? They never had to take a course that explained how American government... Well, perhaps Dick Cheney did with a degree in political science. The penalty, by the way, for corporations messing in politics in this Wisconsin statute, as I said, if the corporation is convicted, they're put out of business. But what about the people working for the corporation? Get this. "Any officer, employee, agent, or attorney, or other representative of any corporation acting for and in behalf of such corporation who shall violate this act shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for a period of not less than 1 nor more than 5 years, or by both fine and imprisonment at the discretion of the court." They throw your butt in jail. 5 years. "Should corporations be allowed to continue to influence politics in ways that contradict science and harms the environment and humans?" The Bush administration has been shredding the Federal Advisory Committee Act of 1972, stacking science, changing reality to suit their corporate paymasters. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Walmart's in hot water again with the courts, this time over allegations the company makes store security staff work long hours without overtime pay. A federal district court judge involved in the case has ordered Walmart to turn over time records for all workers at Walmart stores in Arkansas and eastern Texas. In addition, the judge selected 15 random stores where Walmart must provide more detailed timekeeping records for store security. It's the largest investigation so far into underpayment claims against Walmart, but it's only one of several pending in courts around the country.
Still no contract for workers at Goodyear. 16,000 employees of the tire maker have been working on an extended labor agreement since April, and on Saturday, negotiators with the United Steelworkers of America presented the company with a counterproposal the union hopes will protect health benefits and ensure greater job security. Goodyear is looking to cut more than $1 billion in costs over the next 2 years and wants the flexibility to move jobs overseas.
Europe's heat wave has the UK thinking about a new labor law that would give workers the day off if the mercury rises too high. A survey of 650 British businesses found more than 90% think a maximum temperature law would be a great idea. UK labor law already mandates a minimum workplace temperature. It must be at least 61 degrees for general labor and 55 degrees for strenuous activity.
36,000 Michigan employees of the retailer Meijer have a chance to vote on a new labor agreement. The United Food and Commercial Workers won a tentative contract on Friday that would maintain health care benefits for both full and part-time workers and would boost wages by 13% over the next 4.5 years. If Meijer employees approve the deal on September 2nd, they'll be among the highest-paid grocery workers in the Midwest.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk! Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Appointments to the nation's scientific advisory panels and the public health information conveyed by the Department of Human and Health, the Health and Human Services, DHHS, the National Institutes of Health, NIH, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. These have all traditionally been institutions that had nothing to do with politics. Back in 1972, Congress had passed the Federal Advisory Committee Act called FACA, F-A-C-A. And the explicit purpose of this act was to create scientific advisory. But see, they got it. I mean, this all really started with Sputnik in 1956. I believe it was 56 that Sputnik went up. Might have been 57, anyhow, one of those 2 years. And America suddenly got it. We got to do something about science. I mean, the Soviets were ahead of us. And so the president needed good scientific advice. Congress needed good scientific advice. The scientific community itself needed some sort of impartial arbiters of science. There needed to be agencies through which government grants that wanted to encourage the kind of science that the government felt was necessary, like, you know, investigating how to build A-bombs, could be done. Disease, the control of the food supply, the health of the water and air. Back in 1972, this Federal Advisory Committee Act was created. And let me read you just a little clip from the language that created this law. Why this law was created. This law was the law that created some of these departments and virtually all of these advisory committees. It was created, quote, as a means of furnishing expert advice, ideas, and diverse opinions to the federal government, end quote. Diverse opinions. Well, now, this administration has shut down a number of advisory committees that were saying things they didn't like. They've been stacking their candidates. They've been changing government science websites in ways that not only dance to their particular religious or corporate tune, but contradict science. And this is just mind-boggling. You know, Henry Waxman just brought this to the surface, but I mean, I'm looking right here at something that was published a year ago. The Guttmacher Report. In March of 2003, here's another one, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, the AAAS. AAAS, they publish Science Magazine. This is like, you know, it's the top of the heap. You get published in Science, you have made it. The AAAS is the organization that as a scientist you must belong to, and that if you get published in their publication that you're unassailable. I mean, this is it. Top of the heap in the United States. In fact, they are the largest general scientific organization in the world. And this organization is so outraged, this non-political, unbiased, unaffiliated, independent organization, membership organization of scientists across the United States, is so outraged at what this administration is doing that they passed a resolution saying that the selection, removal, or replacement of committee members, quote, based on criteria extraneous either to the scientific, technical, or medical issues, compromises the integrity of the process of receiving advice and is inappropriate. And that's a fancy way of, well, here's some examples. In October of 2002, just as the Center for Disease Control was starting to look into lead poisoning in children, an issue that was concerning many in industry who felt that it might cost them some money if the government's standards changed and lead had to be removed from more products. There's still a lot of lead out there, folks. Just as the CDC was moving to investigate this, the Advisory Committee on Childhood Lead Prevention, lead poisoning prevention, its members were all summarily fired and replaced by the Bush administration with folks with points of view favorable to the lead industry. The Center for Disease Control's National Center on Environmental Health, almost every single member of its advisory committee was fired by the Bush administration without even talking to their director and replaced by political hacks. Science Magazine's editor-in-chief, Donald Kennedy, is the lead guy of the publication of this publication, of this institution, See, it says this is not standard practice. This is, I mean, that's what Ari Fleischer said. He was asked about this, and he said, oh, this is standard practice. You know, the administration has the right to change people around if they want. And in a January 2003 editorial, he said, the epidemic of cuts so deep that it now invades areas once immune to this kind of manipulation. An earlier Science editorial in October of 2002, written by the former Assistant Secretary of Energy for Environment, Safety, and Health, David Michaels. I'm reading now from the Guttmacher Report by Heather Boonstra. An earlier Science editorial, October 2002, written by the former Assistant Secretary of Energy for Health and for Environment, Safety, and Health, David Michaels, and a group of his colleagues points out that scientific advisory committees do not exist to tell the secretary what he wants to hear, but to help the secretary and the nation address complex issues. End quote. The trend today is very different, however, as this article points out. And I quote, now individuals far outside the scientific mainstream are being appointed to advisory committees, individuals who may even be at odds with the very nature of the committee's work. Consider W. David Hager. This is a guy, he's a doctor. He has called for the FDA to reverse its decision back in the year 2000 to authorize production and sale in the United States of mifepristone, which is the morning after pill. And in his private practice, this guy, as a doctor, refused to prescribe contraceptives to unmarried women. If you're not married and you're female and you walk into this guy's office and ask for the pill, he will not give them to you. This is the guy. Oh, he's also the official spokesperson for the Christian Medical Association. This is the guy that this administration forced onto the Food and Drug Administration's Reproductive Health Drugs Advisory Committee, an organization that's supposed to determine whether drugs in the reproductive arena are safe or not. Not whether they're moral or not. Not whether they toe the line with Jerry Falwell or not, whether they're safe. Well, how would he know? He won't even prescribe them to women who aren't married. Our question, should corporations be allowed to continue to influence politics and in ways that contradict science and harms the environment and humans? Well, I'm not sure that's an example of corporations. That's more of a, you know, this administration is pandering basically to two groups. They're pandering to the right-wing religious extremists. And they're pandering to the corporations who have taken control of this country in a neo-feudalistic putsch, neo-feudalistic overthrow of democracy. In a briefing book compiled for the November 2000 elections, Frank Luntz, a Republican political strategist, suggested to the Republican Party that even though virtually every credible scientist on Earth agrees that global warming is real and a problem, over the weekend I spoke to a friend in Germany. By the way, I wanted to mention this. Let me digress for just a moment. I think it's really important to tell you when I'm wrong about something. And last week I had said that during the 1934 Munich Nuremberg rallies, there were protesters when Hitler had the rally that Leni Riefenstahl made the movie of. I spent the weekend with this, trying to track this down. Read They Thought They Were Free by Marvin Meyer, went back to Schur's Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, called a friend of mine in Germany who's a scholar of this stuff, and we had a long conversation. There were no protesters at that time. I was wrong. There were protests against Hitler, and we'll get into those in some detail, but there certainly weren't any in 1934, because the thugs, the Nazi thugs, just delighted in beating people and assaulting them, and so it had reached the point where nobody was willing to go out. But anyhow, I was talking to him, and he says, it's 100 degrees here, Fahrenheit. He says, they usually do Celsius. And he says, are they still saying in America that there's no such thing as global warming? I'm like, yes, Michael, I'm sorry to tell you. So anyhow, Frank Luntz, this Republican strategist, he says, even though every credible scientist on Earth says, I mean, he didn't, that's not his phrase, it's mine, but it's true. You got you know, Fred Smith and a half a dozen other crackpots out there who are making money off industry, saying, well, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But, you know, the UN IPCC, the UN Council on Climate, I mean, every 2,000 scientists, dozens of Nobel Prize, they're all on record. Global warming is real. It's here. It's been going on for 50 years slowly. It's accelerating. It's putting us all at risk, and it could create such changes in our environment that crops will fail, forests will burn, droughts will happen in some areas, floods will happen, and you know, we're talking about changes, weather changes of biblical proportions. So Luntz says, but our corporate paymasters, they don't like discussion of this. Well, he didn't say that, but I mean, this is what came behind it. The corporate paymasters of the Republican Party, the oil industry in particular, because it's mostly the oil and coal industry that are driving all this carbon into the atmosphere, said, you know, we've got to keep people off balance on this. We've got to keep it so that the press is afraid to talk about it. It's interesting. You watch BBC reports. They talk about the wildfires across Europe. They talk about and they talk about global warming. I was in Australia 2 years ago. They were having wildfires coming right up to the edge of Sydney. I'm sitting in Sydney watching the TV news at a friend's house, and the lead story is about global warming and how it's changing the character of weather in Australia. Should corporations be allowed to continue influencing politics in America in ways that contradict science and harm the environment and humans? Well, Luntz says yes, apparently. He advised the Republican Party that, quote, the scientific debate is closing against us, but not yet closed. He said that they need to recruit sympathetic experts to encourage the public not to, quote, rush to judgment before all the facts are in, end quote. The reason why? Well, he said, should the public come to believe that the scientific issues are settled, their views about global warming will change accordingly. Therefore, you need to continue to make the lack of scientific certainty a primary issue, end quote. This would not happen if this administration, and not just this administration, this is epidemic in politics. It's far worse among the Republicans than the Democrats, but the Democrats certainly have their share of it. With, in my opinion, Joe Lieberman at the top of that pile among the presidential candidates, who are just plain old flat out in the pocket of corporations. Lieberman primarily in the banking and insurance industries. And these corporations are coming in. Well, the National Cancer Institute. This goes back to the religious right-wing thing where they were altering their websites to say that there was a link between abortion and breast cancer. Turns out there isn't. Reuters has this study a couple of days ago. Henry Waxman, he commissioned a study on this. It illustrates the effort to manipulate, distort, and suppress science, Waxman said, quote, unquote. And it's not just science. It just, you know, it goes way beyond this. But let me just share a couple of these things. This is just incredible. Karl Rove. It turns out there was an article. This was actually an article in the Wall Street Journal on July 30th about how Karl Rove was influencing politics in Washington State. He was messing in determining how much water should go to Indian tribal fisheries versus how much water should go to irrigation projects. And he said here's what Kristen Boyles of Earth Justice says: the government can't decide the fate of our most precious natural resources based on the political ambitions of the White House. This information request seeks to get to the bottom of exactly what White House operatives did to achieve the political outcome they wanted at the expense of the Klamath River and coastal communities. According to the Wall Street Journal, Karl Rove reminded the federal managers responsible for the Klamath Irrigation Project that farming interests comprised the president's political base, and polling data suggested more water to them would achieve a favorable political result for the president and Oregon Republican Senator Gordon Smith. As a result, 33,000 salmon died. You say, well, okay, it's just fish. And the Indian tribal fisheries were wiped out. Well, that's just humans, but they're humans that, you know, we've stepped on for a couple hundred years. It's just... this is crazy. Should corporations be allowed to continue to influence politics? No, in my opinion. We need to get them out. They're not alive. They can't vote. What are they doing in politics? Uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The Radio Shack Dictionary of Gizmos. Today's definition, the hub dealio, as described by Vanessa Williams.
It's the little gizmo that connects four other gizmos to your computer and fits on your desk. No more standing on your head to plug in stuff.
So at Radio Shack, when you ask for...
that hub dealio.
We'll show you the 2.0 USB hub with four ports in one easy-to-reach device that's 40 times faster than standard hubs. So come in for easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
And let's save the yoga positions for yoga class.
Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
According to Abbas,
Immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be one.
And you've joined the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. And we're talking about, should corporations be continued to influence politics in ways that contradict science and harms both the environment and human beings? And the hope here, my suggestion on this, is that we say no! That it's time to get corporations out of politics, as was the legal standard from the founding of this country up until the early years of the 20th century. Corporations, rationale, hey, they can't vote. What are they doing in politics? Politics is for you and me. We vote. Now, individuals who work in a corporation, of course, they're welcome to say or do whatever they want, but a corporation itself should not be giving its money to a politician to do its bidding, particularly if doing its bidding means making the air less clean, as the oil industry is doing right now through the Bush administration, making the water more deadly, as the mining and manufacturing industries are doing right now through the Bush administration, making our food supply less safe, as the factory farming industry is doing right now by working through the Bush administration to diminish regulation. And you know, the list just goes on and on and on, and we just need to say no. It's time through our political process. It just keeps on going. The Bureau of Land Management today, and this is more environment than humans, but ultimately we are part of the environment. If you can't breathe clean air, you're doomed. Bureau of Land Management today announced a new policy to open up American public lands to oil and gas development, quote, in a timely manner, end quote. The Bush administration has rejected the agency's statutory multiple-use mandate. Now, statutory means the law requires it. Multiple-use means that you have to be able to do several different things with these public lands, and they're setting all that aside. Forget farming, forget ranching, forget recreation, energy development. That's what public lands are for. Drill for oil. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
truth seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. A new group calling itself Iraqi Resistance is vowing to make, quote, the whole of Iraq a graveyard to all the villain invaders. Their pledge underscoring the continuing violence against U.S. and British soldiers still in Iraq. More on the story from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
As the American death toll mounts, some want U.S. troops to come home, but former U.S. Senator Sam Nunn told NBC's Meet the Press program the Bush administration needs to commit to rebuilding Iraq and other nations affected by the war on terrorism.
All of us have a stake in world stability, and we've got to see this one through. We're in nation building, whether you like it or not, in Iraq, and we're in it in Afghanistan, and we've got to start behaving accordingly.
U.S. President George Bush is trying to downplay the problems, saying it's only been 100 days since the end of major military operations, and a great deal has been accomplished in Iraq. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
The announcement from the Iraqi resistance comes as yet another American soldier was killed and two more were wounded in a bomb attack in the Iraqi town of Bakuba. The soldiers from the 4th Infantry Division were guarding a local police station when a bomb exploded near them. Nearly 100 U.S. soldiers have been killed in Iraq since President Bush declared major combat over May 1st. California Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante is defending his presence on the recall ballot that seeks to oust Governor Gray Davis, of course a fellow Democrat. Earlier on NBC's Today Show, Bustamante said the Democrats are simply hedging their bets.
That just in case, we needed to make sure that we had someone on the other side. I think what we've done is that we've coalesced around a strategy, and that strategy is that we're against the recall, but just in case, we're going to vote for Bustamante.
Other prominent California Democrats, including Senator Dianne Feinstein, have declined to run. Actor Arnold Schwarzenegger so far is leading public opinion polls in the race to oust Davis, despite having said nothing of substance so far concerning his possible policies. And Liberian President Charles Taylor, a former warlord and indicted war crimes suspect, has resigned his office. Taylor will now be accepting exile in Nigeria.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking... you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Chinese diplomats say there are still some very serious gaps between both North Korea and the United States over the North's apparent nuclear programs. But the Chinese are also saying they're still hopeful upcoming multinational talks will be successful. Those talks are expected to begin either late this month or early next month and will include the United States and North Korea, as well as China, South Korea, Russia, and Japan. The Bush administration has been demanding North Korea end all of its nuclear pursuits and is insisting on pursuing a diplomatic solution to the impasse.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Israeli government is warning Lebanon and Syria to control the Hezbollah militant group. Yesterday, Israeli war planes attacked suspected Hezbollah positions in southern Lebanon, killing a 16-year-old boy and also wounding five other people. Israeli government spokesman Avi Posner says that response was, quote, measured and moderate and could have been even harsher.
And was intended to send a signal to the Hezbollah that they stop their murderous activity on our northern border. It is also a signal to those countries like Lebanon and Syria who stand behind the Hezbollah and who bear responsibility for what the Hezbollah is doing.
The Israeli attack came after an anti-aircraft shell fired by Hezbollah killed a teenage boy and injured four adults in northern Israel. Military sources say Hezbollah fired those shells only 2 days after it launched an anti-tank rocket and mortar bombs at Israeli army posts along the border. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. You do it every day. Some are nice and firm. Some sort of flabby. Others very loose. I'm talking about, you know, handshakes. There's an automotive handshake you should know, too. When I come back, I'll introduce you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is Racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford, but they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Like people, a handshake with a particular part of your car can tell you a lot. Drivers, let me introduce your exhaust system. Now, reach out and shake your tailpipe. That's right, your tailpipe. Like the name implies, it's the end of your exhaust system, which includes your muffler and catalytic converter. If your tailpipe wiggles, you can bet there's a loose connection or rusted bracket, which means your muffler isn't far from being highway litter. So save yourself noise, fumes, and expense. Give your tailpipe a shake. I'm Bobby Likas. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Well, here's a date that you can almost predict in advance. They'll raise the terror alert level if the patterns of the past are predictors of the future. Every time there have been major anti-Bush demonstrations in the United States, Ashcroft has cranked up the terror alert level so that they can clamp down on demonstrators out on the streets, because it changes, in their mind anyway, the relationship between the right of assembly guaranteed in the First Amendment and reality. And October 25th, a mass march on the White House and Pentagon. And write it down. October 25, that's the day that you can expect the terror alert will go up again so that they can stop those people from marching, just like they did the last two times there were major marches. You get this from Linda in San Jose. She sent me an email. Another rally, September 25th through the 28th. So September 25th, October 25th. September 25th through the 28th, demonstrations in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York City, Seattle, and others. That's the Answer Coalition. You'll find more information about it at stopwar.org.uk or internationalanswer.org. And on the internationalanswer.org website, Donald Rumsfeld, they say, personally approved more than 50 separate bombing raids, which the Pentagon expected would kill 30 or more Iraqi civilians, according to the New York Times, July 20th of 03. That's at least 1,500 premeditated murders of civilians and is a war crime. Well, Time will tell, of course. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations. Broadcasting live also from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system. Stream 145, Sirius left. Get in your car if you have a Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, Freightliner, and Sterling Trucks, and Jaguar Automobile. And also streaming live on the web from IEAmericaRadio.com, RadioPower.org, Live365.com, and with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Also, if you'd like to drop into our chat room, some great folks, interesting conversation. Go to liberaltalkradio.com, click on the chat link, takes you into the trade forum, click on the chat link, and there you be. Is Bush, or is the Bush administration, I'm not sure that George Bush himself is all that conscious of all this stuff, or that necessarily that Machiavellian, although perhaps he is. I think certainly Karl Rove is. Is Bush destroying the balance of powers in our government even worse than John Marshall did in 1803? Now, that requires a little bit of explanation. Somebody says, answer is a communist organization. I don't know. Check it out. You can find out. The website, as I pointed out, the website is... internationalanswer.org or stopwar.org.uk. Maybe they are. Who knows? Anyhow, what does that have to do with anything? Article 3 of the United States Constitution. Article 3 of the United States Constitution defines the judicial branch of government. You know, we have an article that defines the executive, an article that defines the congressional or legislative, and the Article 3 defines the judicial. It says, the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in the Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. The judges, both the Supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall at stated times receive for the services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. In other words, These folks are independent. This is an independent branch of government. We'll get into this in a little more detail here, but we've got Jim here on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, if you'd like to drop in and say hi. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Where are you calling from?
I'm right outside of Rockford, Illinois, on listening on Sirius Radio.
All right. Well, great.
Got a high level of concern. I was listening to some fellow on the TV this weekend saying that there's he said 17 states that have this recall provision in their state constitution. And he was saying that if California is successful, that you can just bet on it that they will start recalling all these Democratic governors in these states. And that opens up some concern to me. You know, it's apparent that the Republicans are trying to take over this government. I know that they're trying to destroy it as we know it.
Norquist has come right out and said it.
It makes me concerned that the country is going to be run by corporations and the right wing of this country, and also I think they're trying to turn
Jim
the
is going
into
to be
theocracy.
Yeah, is going to be. I think we're nearly there, Jim.
Well,
we're nearly there.
You've got the media manufacturing content of the problems that are out there. And then they are controlling the flow of information that we get. And it really, this weekend and this Schwarzenegger business has just, I don't know, I've been so concerned this weekend. More concerned than I have ever been, I believe, about anything in my life. And I'm really concerned. I'm just, what can we do? How can we stop this?
Yeah.
It's just out of control.
Yeah, I agree, and it's anti-democratic. I mean, this is the difference between free democracy and regulated democracy, as it were. James Madison wrote about this in Federalist Number 10, in which he warned against an absolute pure or raw or free democracy, where basically the people decide everything all the time whenever they feel like it, which is what's going on in California right now. And
I'm just extremely concerned about this. It's really pretty much overwhelmed me this weekend for some reason. I guess it's just all coming home to me. But I'm very concerned about this. I believe democracy has been flushed down the toilet by the hand of George W. Bush. And I appreciate your show a lot. Thanks.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jim. I agree with you. This is a very big concern for me. Ironically, it's democracy. We have democracy, that is the will of the people, in a constitutionally limited form of government, which is known as a republic. So we've got this we have a constitutionally defined democratic republic, which is why Jefferson's party was called the Democratic Republicans, later changed their name just to the Democrats. And today, is still known as the Democrats. The oldest political party in the history of the world is the Democratic Party. I don't know why they don't point that out more often. No political party has ever survived as long as the Democratic Party in the United States. I think that's amazing. But anyhow, we have a situation where just raw democracy, if you allow those with extreme wealth or those with extreme power to take control, they will take control of it. And that's what Hamilton was so concerned about. It's what Madison was so concerned about, even though they were on opposite ends of the argument. And you get this from reading the Federalist Papers, and this is just what's happening in America today, is that anti-democratic forces, people who don't like democracy, they'd rather try to get things through the courts or through referendum. The Republicans overthrowing the 2000 election, and now in California, and on it goes. Anyway, yes, Jim, this is a concern, and in my opinion, the way to fix it is in the ballot box in November of 2004. I think that we're going to see a swing back to rationality, just like this nation saw in 1800, in the election of 1800, when they threw out John Adams after his Alien and Sedition Act little trick and installed Thomas Jefferson. Now, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Phil in Florida is on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Phil.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I think I can prove that Ronald Reagan is really, actually, when he was president, created the deficit that much of the deficit that California is experiencing. And let me prove it to you.
Okay.
All right. He signed the Simpson-Mazzoli Act back in 1984. The Simpson-Mazzoli Act gave blanket amnesty to probably 2.5-3 million illegal aliens who were in California. These are people who have immigrated from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fact.
Okay.
Okay, the other fact is that historically and culturally, and I know because I'm from that area, Mexican people tend to get married in their teens. The girls tend to get married at 17, 18, and the boys tend to get married at maybe 18, 19 years old. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And also statistically, they tend to have an average family of at least 4 children. All right?
Well, this is kind of the argument that was used against the Irish in Boston.
No.
Catholic,
wait,
they
let
had
me finish
families.
My argument.
Okay.
All right. If you have 2 parents in 1984 and have 4 children in 2000, and they all have 4 children, and that one family is now 22 people, and they're all legal. They're not illegal.
Right.
Okay? They're trying to say that this is a function of these illegal aliens getting all kinds of social things, and they're all illegal, and Bill Clinton and whatever, and Gray Davis let all these illegals in. They're getting all this blah, blah, blah. They're all legal because Reagan gave them legality.
Phil, where your argument may hold water or may fall apart is in the drain or the contribution that makes to the economy of California.
Okay.
And I don't think you have those stats.
I have something on that. Given that the Mexican people who have immigrated, even if they immigrated in 1984, they have the lowest of the low jobs. They are picking the carrots, the lettuce, the strawberries, and Salinas, and they're picking grapes in Santa Barbara.
You know,
they're
a lot of them have very high jobs, too, Phil. I mean, one of them is the lieutenant governor of the state.
Yeah, but he's been there for generations. I mean, they had the zoot suits back in World War II, which were Mexican, which were, you know, a Mexican phenomenon back in World War II. Hispanics go back.
We got about a half a minute here,
okay.
Phil. We're running out of time.
Here's the deal. When you, for every child that they have in a school, it costs about $8,500 of taxpayer money to put that child, to run that child through a school year. If they have four children, you know, that's over $30,000.
The flip side of that is when those people get educated, they become you know, functional and contributing members of society. They're Americans.
Kindergarten, first grade, you know, they got a number of grades before they're going to go out and get a job. And you multiply $8,000 times four, so $32,000 times for kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and you keep on going, there you are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, this is Pat Buchanan's rant, too. Interesting point, Phil. It's not someplace that, you know, I mean, immigration is my grandfather was an immigrant to the United States. I'm really not willing to bash immigrants or claim that they're the problem here. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
So, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Another lending success story from LendingTree.com.
I knew a home equity line of credit was a good idea, but I didn't want the hassle of going to a bank. So instead, I went to LendingTree.com, a marketplace of banks and lenders competed over me, and I got a really low rate. A really low rate without setting foot in a bank. Good idea, right?
Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. For additional information or state license disclosures, visit our website at LendingTree.com.
Well, imagine my surprise to get a personal letter from Dick Cheney. Dear Mr. Hightower, Dick began, I write to invite you to join the President and Mrs. Bush for a private dinner here in Washington, D.C. Hey, I'm down for that. There's a lot I'd like to say to George W. Dick goes on to say, a special place of honor has already been reserved for you to recognize your steadfast support of President Bush. Whoa now, that's when I got suspicious, because one thing I'd definitely not been is a steadfast supporter of King George the W and his autocratic, plutocratic court of corporate greedheads. Maybe my special place of honor was to serve as the entree at Bush's dinner. Whatever. Dick said I could get in for only $2,500. Due to a chronic shortfall in my bank account, however, I passed. But I know I would have enjoyed chit-chatting with the CEOs and lobbyists for Chevron, Microsoft, Philip Morris, and other corporations that pitched in $250,000 apiece to mingle at George's Golden Gala. These corporate giants happen to have pending issues before the Bush White House, but I'm sure this has nothing to do with their generosity. A record $30 million was raised from these special interests, most of it in the form of notoriously corrupt soft money. This is a bit ironic, since Bush signed a law banning such contributions only a few weeks ago. But conveniently, he and the Democrats delayed implementation of the ban until after this fall's elections. Still, Cheney's letter said that if I couldn't shell out for the dinner, for only $150, I could get a set of three limited edition photos of the Prez in action, including a candid shot of George aboard Air Force One talking to Cheney by telephone on September 11th. Now, this really is ironic, for you'll recall that this was the day that George was afraid to return to Washington, instead hopping around the country on Air Force One and leaving Cheney in charge. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that's a picture worth a thousand words.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, asking the question, is George Bush destroying the balance of powers in our government even worse than John Marshall did in 1803? And here's the setup. Here's how it works. Article 1 of the Constitution establishes the legislature. Yeah, we got Congress, we got the Senate, the House of Representatives was directly elected by the people. In the beginning, the Senate was appointed by the states. They didn't want too much of the rabble involved, John Adams liked to call us. Section 2 of the Constitution defines the executive branch. It says we're going to have a president. Here's what he can do and what he can't do. Section 3 of the Constitution establishes the judicial branch. And the idea in the minds of the founders was that these three would be interdependent and independent. In other words, the judges would be independent of the president or the Congress, but they would be appointed by the president and approved by the Congress, or by the Senate specifically. So you've got them interrelating, interacting, but each one is independent. And nowhere in the Constitution does it say that the United States Supreme Court has the right to strike down laws made by Congress if they consider them unconstitutional. That wasn't the part of the job of the Supreme Court. So in 1803, in a case called Marbury versus Madison, involved James Madison, who would later become president of the United States in 1809. In Marbury versus Madison, the Chief Justice, John Marshall, who had been appointed along with all the other justices, they were all Federalists, which today you'd call Republicans. They had all been appointed by John Adams, a Federalist, a.k.a. Republican, back in the 1790s. He ruled that, well, here, I'll just read a little clip here from, this is from James and Mary Beard. In their Rise of American Civilization, which, if you want to read a good book on American history, this was written in 1927. And it's, you know, up until the 20s, it is probably the best history of America that has ever been written. It's absolutely brilliant. It's still in print. Rise of American Civilization, Charles and Mary Beard. Marshall had been at his high post only 2 years when he laid down for the first time in the name of the entire court the doctrine that the judges have the power to declare an act of Congress null and void when, in their opinion, it violates the Constitution. This power was not expressly conferred on the court by the Constitution. Though many able men had held that the judicial branch of the government enjoyed it, the principle was not positively established until 1803 by Marshall's ruling in favor of James Madison, in this case, in Mabry versus Madison. Well, Thomas Jefferson went nuts. He just absolutely went nuts. He wrote a letter to Patrick Henry's son-in-law, one of his best friends, Spencer Roane, who was a justice of the Virginia Supreme Court. He said, if this opinion is sound, then indeed our Constitution is a complete felon de se, legally a suicide, for intending to establish three departments, coordinate and independent, that they might check and balance one another. This decision is given, according to this opinion, to one of them alone, the right to prescribe rules for the government of the others. And to that, too, the one that is unelected by and independent of the nation. The Constitution, Jefferson continued in full fury, on this hypothesis is a mere thing of wax in the hands of the judiciary, which they may twist and shape into any form they please. And then he said, and this is where it gets to today. He said, it must be remembered as an axiom of eternal truth in politics that whatever power in any government is independent will also become absolute. He said, independent can be trusted nowhere but with the people in mass. They are inherently independent. So, this was the first rising up of one of the three branches of the government. Now we're seeing another one where that branch, that judicial branch, is being put down by the branch that Jefferson was once in charge of, the executive. Uncommon Sense in the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman. We're talking about Bush destroying our nation. We'll be back after this.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The human relationship with dolphins is a study in extremes. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. As a whole, people like dolphins, some of nature's most intelligent and charismatic animals. Brenda Peterson is co-editor with Tony Frohoff of Between Species, a new book about human-dolphin interactions. Peterson says dolphins intrigue us because they're a lot like us.
They have big brains that are even larger than the human brain. They spend three-quarters of their lives at play, and their communication skills and their very sophisticated societies, their family pods, are very similar to the humans as well.
Researchers have found that dolphins can learn to read complex visual cues, demonstrating an understanding of symbolic language. And in the wild, dolphins don't mind swimming alongside boats or coming in close to check out snorkelers or scuba divers. Peterson says that adds to our fascination with dolphins. They don't flee from people the way most wild animals do.
And they always seem curious about humans, which is very unusual for a wild species.
But there's a dark side to the relationship. Humans are the leading cause of death among dolphins. Peterson cites a recent report by the World Wildlife Fund about the lethal impact of the fishing industry.
Nearly 1,000 whales and dolphins and porpoises drown every day after becoming tangled in fishing nets and other equipment.
Peterson says dolphins and other marine mammals are increasingly under assault from toxic chemicals, noise pollution, and fishing nets. She says in spite of our sense of wonder at these animals, we've become their worst enemies. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Express yourself.
And if you'd like to express yourself, call 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 to be on the Tom Hartman program. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And where we've been going with all this stuff is this scheme that the Bush administration has put forward. Specifically, Adolf Ashcroft, to require prosecutors. Now, the prosecutors, interestingly, are not part of the judicial branch of government. I actually called a friend of mine who's a lawyer this morning because I thought that this was the case, but I wanted to make sure. Because Ashcroft has said to the prosecutors of America, who apparently work for him, and he works for the president, so that's all part of the executive branch of government. He has said to them,
I want you to keep track of these judges. And when you see a judge who is not slamming people with the hardest penalties that we define, you let me know.
They actually have. There is one judge that they've actually started an investigation into, because the guy isn't, you know, whatever. I mean, he's not tossing enough people in jail or something. And it's not like we don't have enough people in jail in the United States. We have more people in jail in the United States of America than any nation on earth. We have 2.1 million people in jail. Consider that. 2.1 million people. The majority of them for offenses related to drugs. One in every 143 Americans is in prison. It's fewer than one in 1,000 in every other country in Europe. In all the countries in Europe. Justice Kennedy pointed this out, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. I think, frankly, in response to Adolf Ashcroft's pronouncement, I think he's starting to get blowback from the Supreme Court. The Anthony Kennedy was before the ABA, the American Bar Association, in San Francisco this last weekend, and he said, and I quote, our resources are being misspent, our punishments are too severe, our sentences are too long. He went on to say, don't take discretion away from the courts. Let judges be judges. In other words, he's saying, hey, Adolf Ashcroft has overstepped. Front page of today's New York Times. Government regulators have taken a variety of steps that seek to limit what some lawyers say is a core principle of their profession, the ability to protect their clients' confidentiality. Another attack on the legal system by this administration. They want to make it so that if you say something to your lawyer has to tell Adolf Ashcroft about it. As the New York Times say, many lawyers said they could not remember such a broad encroachment by the federal government on how they practice law. Stephen F. Tucker, a tax lawyer in the Washington office of Venable, said, in my experience since the early 60s, there's been nothing like this. Is Bush destroying the balance of power so essential to democracy in our government by these naked invasions of judicial process? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Denver's on the line with an opinion on the topic. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi. I want to talk about this number of people in prison because there's some other things that need to be looked at. Is not everyone who's ever going to be in prison is in prison right now, so that number actually reflects a greater number, a greater percentage of our population over a period of time that will ever be in prison. So it is over 1% of our populace, which is, as far as I'm aware, the greatest of any developed nation in history, or perhaps any nation in history. Yeah. And you've got to consider the economic factor of that, and also the other thing is that in many cases, convicted felons will not be able to vote. So this
yes.
would tend, and I would presume...
Especially in Florida.
Yes. Given that much of the populace is African-American and Hispanic, the prison population, that would, which tends to vote Democrat, that would tend to throw the votes more toward the Republicans.
Yeah, this reminds me so much. I mean, what I am seeing right now, Jeff, is the revival of the neo-feudalism that accompanied the Industrial Revolution in England. If you know read Charles Dickens, and you get a sense of how desperate the working people were, how absolutely desperate. There was the working poor, and there was the rich, and there was nothing in between. And in addition to that, you had this situation in Ireland, in the territories, you know, where during the potato famine of 1848, almost a million people died, as I recall, or no, almost a million people emigrated, left Ireland, came to the United States, and hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, died. I don't remember the number on the deaths. But during the potato famine of Ireland, Ireland was actually exporting more food than they would have needed to feed their own people.
And they were exporting it to England.
They were exporting it to England, right. They were exporting wheat. It was a crime to eat wheat. And so the Irish were left with only potatoes to eat, and they had this potato blight, and that's what caused it. So this was an economic crime foisted upon them by the wealthy and powerful of England. And I think that we're seeing the same thing in the United States, where the poor and the working people and the working poor are the ones who are disproportionately the ones who are likely to be labeled criminals, as the Irish were, which is how Australia got populated. I mean, keep in mind, in the 16 and 1700s, England was shipping Irish over here to the United States rather than putting them in prison because it was cheaper. And then, you know, when we stopped taking them, they started shipping them to Australia. And that we have this situation setting up where we've got a whole underclass that's being created that can't vote, that is politically disenfranchised, and that is essentially slave labor, and that is just fine, thank you very much, with these neocons.
Mm-hmm. So. And what's amazing about all this thing is, you know, I have not been much of one for conspiracy theories, but the puzzle just fits together so nicely. And it is so complex, and we need to keep on creating this picture, this overall picture, to see the big picture of this, because it's very much a convoluted web, but it fits together.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Jeff, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments. This is, in my opinion, the cheap labor conservative agenda, the corporatization of America. Steal the public good, steal the public access, the public resources, the things that we collectively own, and hand those to corporations. They call it privatization. It should be called corporatization. Create a huge underclass of frightened, panic workers who are in debt up to their eyeballs, who will be afraid to unionize and to stand up for their own rights. And the wealthiest class, and you know, as Charles Kelly said in Class Warfare on America, you know, the cons love to say, oh, this is class warfare, this kind of talk. Well, it's simply pointing out the class warfare that they declared and that they are foisting upon the American people. And we're seeing this right now in this rapid segregation, stratification of socioeconomic classes in the United States. If you'd like to be on the program today, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Vicki in Idaho is on the line. Vicki, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. I'm calling about an article that I saw on MoveOn.com today. It's called The Cancellation of Democracy from the...
Right, it's MoveOn.org, but yes.
Center.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Pardon me?
I saw it, too. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
continue.
Well, they're canceling primaries. And I'm wondering how is that going to work? How are you going to be able to choose between the Democratic candidates?
Well, what's happening, this is another part of the anti-democratic Republican agenda. The Republicans don't like elections because they don't win them. I mean, they represent a very small interest of very wealthy people, and then they've got, you know, another, which is maybe 5% of the population, maybe perhaps 10, and then they've got another 20, 30, 40% of the population who they have well fooled. You know, it just continually amazes me, living in Vermont, to drive through these rural areas where you see people who are just hanging on by their teeth, you know, making a living sharpening chainsaws and just hanging on by their teeth, and they've got, you know, Republican signs in their front yards. I mean, the Republicans are sitting back going, these suckers, suckers.
That's exactly the way it is in Idaho. I mean, we have the right to work law, and people here are starving to death. You know,
The cheap labor conservatives and Republicans have just taken over. And so now what you've identified here, Vicki, is step two or step three in the process. Step one is to establish the political power base and put out the mythos, the lies, the stories that people will latch onto, the talking points, as it were. Step two is to, if you can't get power by being elected, then get it any way you can. So in the case of the 2000 election, it was through the Supreme Court. In a variety of ways, and here in California, if you can't win the governorship in a fair and square in an election, then you fund a recall. Now, there's nothing wrong with a law that says to have a recall, but there is something wrong with somebody saying, here's $1.7 million of my own money that's going to make this happen. I mean, this is driving a process. It's not a natural and organic process. And then the third step, which you've just identified, which is in this Common Dreams article today, which is excellent, is that in those states that the Republicans control, they're saying that they don't want to have a Democratic primary in their state because the Democrats, in the process of arguing with each other about things like, you know, should we or shouldn't we have national health care and whose plan is better, that the Democrats are going to educate people about the issues.
Right.
And we don't want people knowing about these issues. We don't want people knowing what these Democrats are having to say. We think it's wrong. We don't want these Democrats to be talking in our state, so we're going to cancel the Democratic primary because the Republicans are not going to have a primary this year. They're going to have a coronation.
Mm-hmm.
And so now three states, Colorado, Utah was one of them, as I recall. Colorado, I know, was one, and there was a third state that just canceled.
One.
Yeah, they've just canceled their primaries. That's what it's about, Vicki.
And there's another thing, too, that people need to be aware of is the electronic voting systems that don't have a paper trail. There is no way to verify the electronic count, and so they'll be able to just fix the elections.
Yeah, yes and no. I wrote a piece about this that you'll find on Alternet right now. It's right down at the bottom of the page, or it was this morning. And that article that I wrote, MoveOn.org, mailed out to 1.7 million people last week, or the week before last, about the voting machines specifically. It's kind of a roundup article of all the different things that are happening. And later on, either this week or next week, we're going to have Rebecca Mercurion, who's one of the real experts on this. And this is a huge security hole and a big problem. I'm not certain that it's a huge conspiracy. I think it's just, although I think it may have started out as one, frankly.
Chuck Hagel was elected in Nebraska with a system that his company wrote and installed.
I know, Vicki. I was the one who broke that story in CommonDreams.org a year ago. Yeah.
Thank you.
I wrote the original article on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Thanks, Vicki. I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in and sharing with us. These are very real issues. And here we've got now this situation where the Bush administration, now, you know, so the democratic process is being usurped, as Vicki pointed out, in the electoral ways, as Jeff pointed out, by the disenfranchisement of poor people who get caught up in the web of the criminal justice system. I mean, so many Irish during the potato famine era were arrested, most for petty crimes, petty theft, or for illegal economic activity. Usually it was selling food on the black market. They were arrested and they were deported to the United States or they were deported to Australia. Now, the prevailing thought among the English back then was that the Irish were genetically inferior. There's something wrong with them. And there was a debate that went on in England during that time. Was it that the Irish were genetically inferior, or was it that they were culturally inferior? Because they were clearly inferior in the minds of the British, who owned most of Ireland. The British drove them into poverty, drove them into famine, forced them to work on farms growing wheat for export to England, and imprisoned them when they ate that wheat. And they said, oh, it's all their fault. If they just had some bootstraps to pull themselves up by, and they would point out there were a few successful Irish. Oh, here's a pub owner. Here's a guy who's got a little business. Here's somebody who owns a farm. There are successful Irish out there. See, it is possible. Do I hear an echo? Is history repeating itself? And in the context of this, is the Bush administration destroying the balance of powers in our government by having the executive branch? I mean, first the executive branch terrified the legislative branch. They certainly lied to them. I don't want to say that the executive branch was responsible for the anthrax that showed up in Democratic lawmakers' offices when the Patriot Act was being debated. I don't think in my wildest fantasies that George Bush had anything to do with that. Although it's a really weird coincidence. But anyway. But certainly, lying to Congress about the threat posed by Iraq, not sharing with Congress the fact that Dick Cheney had been meeting before 9/11 with oil companies in the White House to plan the national American energy strategy and dividing up Iraq. Before 9/11, they were dividing up Iraq and figuring out which oil fields to sell to which companies. Now, they didn't tell Congress about this. So they've shut down the legislative branch, and now they're going after the judicial branch. Is this the end of democracy in America? What can we do about it? I'd say register, vote, get politically active, wake up everybody you know. It's time for us all to play Paul Revere, helping you win the water cooler roars with uncommon sense in the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here again to talk to you about InPhone. Just dial 888-411-1111 and ask the friendly operator anything you want to know. Movie times, movie reviews, driving directions, your mom's phone number. You ought to know your own mom's phone number. But just in case you don't, call InPhone. 888-411-1111. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've been talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear him? My program the other night, some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, let me just...
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The Democratic candidates are running as fast as they can, and the Republicans don't want to make it possible for them. I'll tell you that. This the article, a couple of folks in the chat room, where is that article that Vicky was talking about in Idaho? It's called The Cancellation of Democracy. It's on the front page of www.commondreams.org, the Common Dreams News Center. Commondreams.org, in my opinion, one of the very best of the progressive news sites out there. Absolutely extraordinary site. I read it almost every day. And it's titled by The Cancellation of Democracy, originally published in the Baltimore Sun on Friday by Bob Guldin, G-U-L-D-I-N. Colorado started the trend. On March 5th, Republican Governor Bill Owens signed a bill eliminating the 2004 primary. Republican strategists figure that holding a Republican strategists figure that holding a 2004 primary will give lots of free publicity to the Democrats, while their own nominating process generates close to zero excitement. Canceling the primary, especially in a year of budget austerity, begins to look like a fine idea. Alaska, Nevada, and Wyoming have not yet even planned to hold primaries or caucuses. In Arizona, Democratic Governor Janet Napolitano vetoed Republican-backed legislation to cancel the state's primary, which would have saved the state an estimated $3 million. Arizona can well afford the price of democracy, Ms. Napolitano wrote in her veto message. In Utah, the Republican-controlled legislature voted not to fund the 2004 primary, and GOP Governor Michael O. Levitt signed that measure. Democrats in Utah are trying to raise the money to run a primary and pay for it themselves. You know, I thought democracy was a function of government. And in Michigan, the legislature voted to scrap the Republican primary with no argument from either Democratic legislators or Democratic Governor Jennifer M. Granholm. Cancellation of the Michigan primary will be a loss both to the state's voters, who turned out in record numbers for the 2002 midterm primary, and the country generally. That's because Michigan has sometimes provided political surprises of national importance. Senator John McCain of Arizona beat George Bush in 2000 in Michigan. Well, maybe that's why the Republicans don't want there to be. Anyhow, democracy at risk. Is Bush destroying democracy? You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, talk radio for the rest of us. Be sure you're registered. Get out there and get ready to vote.
Yeah, the most at Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Liberian President Charles Taylor has now formally resigned his office. Taylor will reportedly now accept exile in Nigeria. During his resignation speech earlier, the former warlord and indicted war crime suspect said he'd put his record up against any leader in the international community.
History will be kind to me. I have fulfilled my duties in the interest of the Liberian people.
Taylor said he will accept his role as being a, quote, sacrificial lamb, but he said his departure as well as the arrival of international peacekeepers will mark a rebirth for Liberia. He said the fighting between government troops and Liberian rebels could continue, but, quote, the people must matter. Speaking to criticism of his human rights record, meanwhile, Taylor said, quote, I may have stepped on a few toes, but I don't care. The inquiry into the death of British weapons expert Dr. David Kelly has started hearing evidence today. The latest on that story from correspondent Suzanne Chislett in London.
The first witness to testify was Terence Taylor, a former military officer who knew Dr. Kelly since 1985. Speaking via video link from Australia, he told Lord Hutton he'd last spoken to his friend 4 days before his death and said at that time Dr. Kelly seemed in a normal state of mind and spoke of his hopes to return to Iraq. Ministry of Defence official Richard Hatfield told the inquiry Dr. Kelly knew the rules governing talking to journalists and had broken them. He also revealed the weapons expert had been specifically working on the plans to find weapons in Iraq and had the highest level of security clearance. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And yet another American soldier has been killed and two others wounded after a bomb attack in the Iraqi town of Bakuba. The soldiers from the 4th Infantry Division were guarding a local police station when a bomb exploded in front of them. Also today, American forces launched Operation Ivy Lightning, which will use helicopters and heavy armor to try to track down Saddam Hussein as well as his followers. The operation is centered about 80 miles north of Baghdad.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like, but on the inside, I'm all, just because I look like, doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. Really, a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
California Governor Gray Davis says the continuing recall election process is an insult to the millions who voted for him in November. He told NBC's Today Show earlier the recall effort is going to cost the state about $70 million at a time when it's already seriously strapped for cash. Might want to watch what you tell your lawyer. There could soon be a change in attorney-client privilege rules. The New York Times says government regulators and prosecutors are pressing the American Bar Association to consider changing its rules. The proposed changes would give more discretion to lawyers who feel obliged to share their client's secrets.
Mom,
Dad, someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day. Don't like the sound of that?
So, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
NATO has taken command now of the International Peacekeeping Force currently in Kabul, Afghanistan. It's the organization's first ever operation outside Europe in its 54-year history. The new commander from NATO, Lieutenant General Getz Glimerov, insists the mission in Afghanistan will not change.
Yes, ISAF's name and mission will not change. NATO will operate under the ISAF banner and under an unchanged United Nations mandate, i.e. to assist the Afghan transitional authority in maintaining a secure environment.
NATO took over the command from the International Security Assistance Force, which has been in place since the United States and its allies invaded Afghanistan in late 2001. The open-ended command of 5,000 peacekeepers has already sparked debate whether NATO will be operating beyond Kabul. The current interim Afghan government and its aid agencies are urging it to expand quickly. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. There's that clicking noise again. If it sounds like Riverdance is performing under your hood, you could be in for some expensive repairs. I'll be back in a snap and tell you all about it. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. That click-click isn't Riverdance, but it could be a malfunctioning tappet. Like doors open and close, letting people into a club, tappets open and close, letting air into your engine's cylinders. To move efficiently, tappets use engine oil for lubrication, and there's the potential problem. Debris in contaminated oil not only causes tappets to click, it also piggybacks with the oil into all engine parts. Bottom line, expensive repairs. So before you hear your dollars clicking away, schedule oil changes regularly. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast all across the United States. In a time of turbulence and change, John Kennedy said, it is more true today than ever that knowledge is power. You have stepped right flat into the middle of the vast radical middle conspiracy, where we absolutely believe that knowledge is power, and work to wake up, shake up, inform, and energize the American people to try to take back democracy. Let's return to a democratic republic. Let's return to an egalitarian form of government as our founders envisioned. Yeah, they didn't get it right all the time, but they sure had some good ideas, and ultimately we've been able to fine-tune those and improve on them. It always seems to happen with everything over time, and we still have the potential in the United States to go back to being one of the greatest and most well-respected nations in the world. Yes, it is true. Most of the world right now thinks very poorly of us. It's amazing. The last time I was in Europe, I was in Germany. I had to defend myself. I spoke at Oxford University last year, and I got up in front of a whole room full of a couple hundred of students and professors and whatnot. And right off the bat, I had to distance myself from the Bush administration just to get some rapport with the other. I mean, they were palpably hostile. Yes, it is true. This administration, this president, has made us viewed all around the world in very negative light, and in many cases the laughingstock of the world. But that can change. It has happened before, no doubt. It'll happen again, and it can change. Our Bush lie of the day, Medicare. George Bush in Michigan, January 29th of this year, standing in a photo op in front of a logo that says Strengthening Medicare, big, huge, four-color piece, done with hundreds of thousands of dollars of your and my taxpayer dollars to create a good photo op for George W. He said, within that budget I proposed last night is a substantial increase in Medicare funding of $400 billion on top of what we already spend. This is a commitment that America must make to our seniors. A reformed and strengthened Medicare system plus a healthy dosage of Medicare spending in the budget will make us say firmly we fulfilled our promise to the seniors of America. Well, those were Bush's words. You know, people used to say, you know, he's lying when his lips are moving. You know, the old joke. It's really getting spooky. Here's the reality. This from the House Government Appropriations Committee, www.house.gov/appropriations_democrats/caughtonfilm.htm. Under Bush's proposal, there would be a roughly $40 billion increase in Medicare each year for a decade. However, now he had just said $400 billion. However, Bush's 2004 budget, the one he had just said was proposing $400 billion for Medicare, he just said that to these people. And they stood there believing him, these Republicans, a.k.a. gullibles. However, Bush's 2004 budget proposes just $6 billion. 85% less than would be needed to meet his goal. Additionally, his budget would leave 67% of the total $400 billion pledge to be spent after 2008. In other words, he's saying we're going to spend all this money, but by the way, we're not going to spend it on my watch. Somebody else is going to have to worry about that. Incredible. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, if you'd like to be on the program. All kinds of interesting things in the news today, and let's just spend some time with this. And if there's something that you want to bring up or you want to get into, you know, for example, Vicky calling in the last hour, that was really useful, because I remember reading that story last night just before I was going to sleep, and I totally forgot about it this morning, I am embarrassed to say. We would have done a whole hour on it. So thanks, Vicky, for reminding me of that. Home loans rise as higher rates slow refinancing. This from today's Wall Street Journal. Now, there's a story behind this story. And it says a lot about America, and this is about one of the real core issues here. The sharp rise in home mortgage rates has put a stop to the refinancing boom in recent weeks, raising the specter that consumer spending could slow. Okay, the story behind that story is that what Robert Reich was talking about on this program a week or two ago, where he suggested, and what I've been saying now for months, as long as I've been doing this show, is that the thing that has been holding this economy together, in large part, ever since NAFTA and GATT started, you know, were passed in 96, and we started radically and rapidly exporting jobs because we signed these treaties that essentially put every American worker in competition with everybody else in the world on a non-level playing field. The the cheap labor conservatives like to say that it leveled the playing field. No, I'm sorry, it didn't. What it meant was that the infrastructure of one country versus the infrastructure of another country, these are not level playing fields. But in any case, what I've been saying all this time is that the thing that has held together the last remnant of this economy is that the middle class have been getting poorer and poorer every year. Broadly, since the so-called Reagan-Bush revolution that started this process. And we know real wages have been falling steadily ever since 1973, which even predates Reagan-Bush, but it really started in the early 1980s, 81, 82, really started picking up steam. That real wages have been steadily falling. Purchasing power has been steadily falling. People are working more and more hours, more and more jobs, more and more people coming into the workplace. And even despite all of that, the American middle class is getting poorer and poorer. And how are they doing this? How are they getting deeper and deeper in debt? Partly on credit card debt, which just wipes people out. But mostly, what they've been doing is that great rise of the middle class that we had from the mid-1940s, basically from the end of World War II, or even the early 1940s, it was 42 or 43, the Federal Home Loan Act was passed, right up until the 1980s. The golden age of America, as the result of the laws and policies put into place by Franklin Roosevelt, all of those people who were able to buy homes and pay them off or pay them down and get solid equity in their homes started having to extract that equity from their homes and live on it. And people have been doing that. They've been refinancing their homes. And as a result, their net worth has been shrinking, but they've been able to sustain their lifestyle. So consumer purchasing has been continuing. And that's a bubble that is going to burst. It's bursting right now. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 is our number. And Gary in West Tennessee is on the line. Gary, welcome to Tom Hartman Show. Come on in, sit down, pull up a chair.
Okay, hey, how are you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Gary?
Well, I'm doing great. I am, in fact, a real estate appraiser, and I'm on my way to do four appraisals in Memphis right now.
And speak of the devil.
You hit the nail on the head when you were talking about the people refinancing and dragging equity out of their homes, because some of the people that I have been doing appraisals for, you can tell. I mean, you go in and they're 65 to 70 years old. They're refinancing a house that appraises for about $80,000, and they have to have every nickel of that $80,000 in order to get their loan to value so they can get every penny out of it they can. They're financed up to their ears.
Yeah. It's a tragedy.
And I see it every day. It's young people, it's older people, and these mortgage companies are actually pushing them to refinance their homes for more than they're worth. I know of one specific example where I know that the home is not worth over $45,000 to $50,000 because I used to live in it, and one company made a $50,000 loan on the piece of property. And to do that, they had to have approximately $65,000 appraised value. So that tells me that not only is the mortgage company gouging the people, there's an appraiser somewhere that ought to go to jail.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. Gary, are you seeing broadly this trend of not only people pulling equity out of their homes and living on it, but people coming up against the wall? I mean, are defaults starting to happen? How much more fat is there in home equity that can be wrung out before, as a nation, we just hit the wall and we're just, you know, that's it. We can't go any farther.
There's not much. I live in a small town, about 5,000 people, and we kind of keep up with the foreclosure notices that are in the newspaper because we're also in the real estate business. And there have been anywhere from 15 to 20 just in the small town that we live in, and, you know, a couple of little towns around us. And I've got three foreclosures. I manage foreclosures for Freddie Mac, and I've got three right now. So there are a lot of foreclosures out there, and I'm like you. It's the bubble's going to burst, and it won't be long.
Yeah, it won't be pretty. Gary, I'm wondering what sort of economic base that your community has. Was there ever manufacturing there? Were there good jobs at one point that have gone overseas in West Tennessee?
There have been some good jobs, and there are still some good jobs. But a lot of the factories, we've had one factory, Henry I. Siegel, has moved everything to Mexico. Another factory or company, Brown Shoe Company, they have been, their headquarters is in St. Louis, and West Tennessee at one time, just about every little town in West Tennessee had a Brown Shoe. But now you
can't. Is this Buster Brown's?
Right, yeah.
I remember them when I was a kid.
Well, that's the company that makes them. In fact, my dad used to work for them, my mother worked for them, I worked for them, and my wife worked for them. But there is not a Brown Shoe Company in the United States today, but they still have a world headquarters in St. Louis, because I got a letter from them, probably 3 months ago, talking about the retirement that I had from them, and I only worked for them for 6 weeks.
Yeah, remarkable. Well, Gary, thank you for the call, and thanks for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. It was so on point and so right there. This is a recovery? No. This is the neo-feudalization of America, the new feudal order, brought to you by George Bush and the cons. Uncommon Sense in the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman. I'll be right back.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they
good head bobby music. Yes. Son of Dr. Chinaski? I'm not sure how to pronounce that, says in our chat room. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. LiberalTalkRadio.com will get you to our website. Or ProgressiveTalkRadio.com if you prefer. Or TomHartmanShow.com. Or TomHartman.com. Anyhow, we're on live on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on channel or stream 145 of the Sirius Satellite Radio System. As taxes fall, dividends rise, and executives reap big gains. Here is the key. By the way, just to recap, we're 2.5 hours into the show. Just to remind you, today is day 183 of the search for weapons of mass destruction, and day 699 of the search for that man whose name shall not pass the lips of our president, Osama bin Laden. He has, his advisor, Karl Rove, has suggested, apparently, that it would be very wise if, in any circumstance when it would be appropriate to mention Osama bin Laden, as in has to do with terrorism, has to do with bad things, has to do with anything, he instead mentions Saddam Hussein, so that people will continue to believe the lie that Saddam Hussein and Iraq were about to attack America and or had anything at all to do with 9/11. When, in fact, what Saddam Hussein was guilty of was sitting on oil. Anyhow, today's Wall Street Journal. I've said this before. I hate to sound like an advertisement for the Wall Street Journal. I really have no affiliation with them, no interest in them, and am not spiffed by them at all. But I'm telling you, if you read the press of the rulers of this economy, of this nation, the economic rulers who have seized control of our government. Read Fortune, read Forbes, read The Economist, read the Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal. It's astounding how just open they are about this stuff. First paragraph from this article. In the first section of today's Wall Street Journal, the federal tax cut, which slashed the tax rate on dividends and prompted many companies to increase their payouts, is proving to be a boon for some corporate executives who are reaping millions in after-tax gains. And they go on to talk about it. They're cheering for this, right? Of course. But for senior executives, the rewards have been especially lucrative. At Wall Street security firm Goldman Sachs, which raises dividend by 108%, Chief Executive Henry Paulson will get a $2 million after-tax boost. Charles Schwab is getting $5.4 million. Leslie Wexner is getting $9.3 million. In fact, they've got a table here. They've got a little chart on the second page. Bill Gates, as a result of the Bush cut in dividend income. See, here's how it works. If you work for a living, you pay normal income taxes. But if you sit on your butt for a living, Or if you work for a living and part of what you do is sit in, if you get your money from dividends from stocks that you owned, if that's the way you earn your living, then you only pay 15% income tax. It's a flat tax for millionaires. Bill Gates made $80.3 million this year. That was his tax cut from George Bush. Sumner Redstone of Viacom, $40.19 million. Stephen Ballmer of Microsoft, $32.03 million. Stanford Weil of Citigroup, $16.75 million. As the Wall Street Journal points out, taxpayers earning more than $100,000 a year in adjusted gross income got 56.4% of dividend payments, 29% of the benefits accrue to the top 1% of taxpayers, and 61% go to the top 10%. Stick around, we'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Walmart's in hot water again with the courts, this time over allegations the company makes store security staff work long hours without overtime pay. A federal district court judge involved in the case has ordered Walmart to turn over time records for all workers at Walmart stores in Arkansas and eastern Texas. In addition, the judge selected 15 random stores where Walmart must provide more detailed timekeeping records for store security. It's the largest investigation so far into underpayment claims against Walmart, but it's only one of several pending in courts around the country.
Still no contract for workers at Goodyear. 16,000 employees of the tire maker have been working on an extended labor agreement since April, and on Saturday, negotiators with the United Steelworkers of America presented the company with a counterproposal the union hopes will protect health benefits and ensure greater job security. Goodyear is looking to cut more than $1 billion in costs over the next 2 years and wants the flexibility to move jobs overseas.
Europe's heat wave has the UK thinking about a new labor law that would give workers the day off if the mercury rises too high. A survey of 650 British businesses found more than 90% think a maximum temperature law would be a great idea. UK labor law already mandates a minimum workplace temperature. It must be at least 61 degrees for general labor and 55 degrees for strenuous activity.
36,000 Michigan employees of the retailer Meijer have a chance to vote on a new labor agreement. The United Food and Commercial Workers won a tentative contract on Friday that would maintain health care benefits for both full and part-time workers and would boost wages by 13% over the next 4.5 years. If Meijer employees approve the deal on September 2nd, they'll be among the highest-paid grocery workers in the Midwest.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
revolution. A new revolution about the new Constitution. The old Constitution was just fine, but it seems like we need a new revolution of sorts, that is, perhaps a new election in 2004 to return the Constitution to its formerly somewhat tattered, but at least relatively intact state. Russia now. Russia is asking the United States to stop dumping heroin on their kids. This is incredible. This is like, you know, we go down to Colombia and we say, oh, no, you can't. You're growing cocaine down here. We're going to come in. We're going to bomb you. And you know, we got this war on drugs going on, and we're killing people and wiping out crops and dropping Agent Orange. Or it's, you know, the modern reincarnation of it, defoliants. And so Russia comes to us. General Viktor Cherkasov, the head of Russia's, their equivalent of the Drug Enforcement Agency. And here's the headline. The headline from today's Wall Street Journal. Russia asks U.S. to curb Afghan opium. Since the collapse of the Soviet Union, of course, with massive widespread unemployment in the Soviet Union now, or the former Soviet Union in Russia, you know, the dream of capitalism and free enterprise has helped many people in Russia. It's increased the standard of living in many, many ways. But it's also created a huge underclass because it was done in the model of Ronald Reagan rather than in the model of Franklin Roosevelt. I've seen this firsthand. And as a consequence of this, drug abuse is just exploded in Russia, particularly heroin. And where does that heroin come from? Afghanistan. And here, this, again, from today's Wall Street Journal, Jeannie Whalen contributed to this article by Mark Schufs. Russia asks U.S. to curb Afghan opium. Quote, under U.S.-led occupation, Afghanistan's poppy output has surged again, accounting for more than three-quarters of world production. Are you listening to the... Now, you won't hear this on faux news. Three-quarters of all the heroin in the world is coming from our 51st state, Afghanistan. According to the Wall Street Journal, General Cherseskov projects that this year's harvest, this is the opium harvest in Afghanistan, will total 4,000 tons. Up from the 3,422 tons that the United States Office of Drugs and Crime says Afghanistan produced last year, and last year was its second biggest harvest in all of history. So the 2 years that we're running Afghanistan has turned into the world's leading heroin producer, three-quarters of the entire planet's supply. And where is that heroin going? Well, the Wall Street Journal says, Afghanistan produces virtually all, that's as in A-L-L, all, the heroin sold in Russia, and more than three-quarters of the heroin sold in Europe. And we wonder why the Europeans are a little concerned about our behavior in the Middle East. Yes, we know back in the 1990s, Dick Cheney went over to Afghanistan and was negotiating with the Taliban to run a gas pipeline through there. And we know that, you know, was it Cheney or Rumsfeld? It was one of the two of them. Anyway, members of this administration were in Afghanistan negotiating for a gas pipeline, and they decided in 98 to pull out. It was too much. It was too unstable. But there was all this gas, and we're having a gas shortage here in the United States now. There's all this gas up north of Afghanistan in the Stan countries, the Turkmenistan and whatnot. And they needed to get it across Afghanistan down into boats. And, of course, there's all that oil in Iraq. So we had cut this deal to build a gas pipeline. Well, now we've got the countries. Nobody knows if the pipeline is being built in Afghanistan. The administration hasn't answered those questions. It'd certainly be done in Iraq, we know. And not only that, not only has Afghanistan, America's 51st state, become the supplier of three-quarters of the world's heroin, producing this year the largest crop in the history of the planet of opium. But what are they doing with that money? Well, I will quote the Wall Street Journal. U.S. intelligence knew long before September 11 that opium puts money into the coffers of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. Our 51st state is producing the opium and the heroin that is creating a devastating medical problem in Russia and Europe, and is producing millions in profits for Al-Qaeda. You wonder, I mean, there's all these stories. I mean, Bremer yesterday was talking about how these terrorists, they're coming into Iraq from outside the country. And they're starting to talk about Al-Qaeda in Iraq, as if, you know, Al-Qaeda had been there before, and they hadn't, and we know that. But now they're there, which is just wonderful news for the administration, because they can say, see, we told you so, here they are, that's Al-Qaeda. They just blew up the embassy here for Jordan. Well, where are they coming from? They're coming from Afghanistan. And how are they funded? They're funded by selling heroin. And who's holding all this together? The Bush administration. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to be on the program. If you have a comment on this or any of these other topics on the news, 1-800-825-5937. And Billy in California is on the line. Billy, welcome back.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Billy. How's life?
Tom, I had an idea. We have this crazy recall out here in California.
I've noticed.
Yeah. So they've got like 200 candidates who are running. Inevitably, there will be a debate. So, you know, if you're the LA Times and you're putting on a debate, you're probably going to say below a certain percentage, y'all don't get to come to the debate, wouldn't you think?
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, how else are they going to do it? They're not going to actually have a debate between all 200 people.
No, so, I mean, it wouldn't be possible.
So everybody that has below 5%, which is the other 190 people, they won't get to go to the debate. I say that you and I produce a television show which is debate for the rest of us. Because here's a fact. The truth will get told in the debate for the rest of us among all those losers who can't get on TV, and nothing but platitude will occur in the debate between the people who really want to get the job. And won't it be interesting to hear from the nutballs, but then compare what the loser nutballs have to say with the real politicians, and you'll find out the politicians are liars and just say empty things, and the nutballs actually had really good ideas.
Spot on, Billy. Just like the nutball Ralph Nader could have injected some sanity into the debate between Gore and Bush back in 2000.
Yeah, the nuttiest thing Nader ever said, and the big lie, of course, was, hey, there's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah.
Well, that cost us, I think, this country.
Yeah, I think people have figured out that's not quite the case. Hey, Billy, hang on to the line here for just a minute. I've got Bob in Texas on the line, and Steph says he wants to know how Bush is responsible for all of this, and I know that you have an opinion about that, and I'll share mine. Bob, pop on in here and join Billy and I.
Yeah, I was wondering how the Bush administration is supposed to be responsible for this, for the heroin. I mean, they were the largest heroin producers before we ever went over there, wasn't they?
I think that at the year before we invaded Afghanistan, they produced almost no heroin at all. The Bush administration gave the Taliban $38 million in cash not to grow opium, and they didn't. So, no, most of the heroin then was coming from Southeast Asia.
Oh, well,
Sorry, Bob.
And let's be more specific. How about this, Bob?
Okay.
How about
thanks,
the fact
thanks
that,
for the call, Bob. Hey, continue, Billy.
Okay, so let me answer Bob this way. If Ashcroft is chasing down pornographers, the Bush administration is busy chasing down pornographers with money that should be used for terrorism. How clear
yeah.
can that be?
Yeah, spot on. And thanks, Billy. I appreciate your calling and your sharing these things. And I think your idea for the debate, instead of doing it on TV, we ought to do it on radio. We could do it right here on this show. I would love to hear what my old friend Larry Flint has to say about these topics. He's the only one, actually, that I've heard on any kind of national media actually talking about issues. Larry Flint. I mean, it takes a smut peddler to talk about the issues. The Boston Globe reports that in February, the CIA, now let me set this up, the Cheney and Rumsfeld and George Bush himself, before the war, were telling us all, hey, no problem, we're going to get in there, we're going to take them out, you know, that's going to be that. And then after the war, it was like, gee, we're really surprised by all these terrorist attacks. In February, the CIA gave a formal briefing to the National Security Council. According to this article in the Boston Globe, CIA warned administration of post-war guerrilla peril by Brian Bender, including, now this is who the CIA briefed, in February, before the war, including Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld, Vice President Dick Cheney, and President Bush himself. Quote, this is what the CIA said, quote, a quick military victory in Iraq will likely be followed by armed resistance from remnants of the Ba'ath Party and Fayyadeen Saddam irregulars. On multiple occasions in the months before the war, the CIA and Defense Intelligence Agency warned that fighting would probably continue after the formal war. The assessments went so far as to suggest that guerrilla tactics could frustrate reconstruction efforts. 1-800-TALK-YES, Tim is on the line in Hartford, Connecticut. Hey, Tim, welcome.
Well, I won't do my share of defending Ralph Nader because Billy's obviously been smoking too much.
It's always nice to have you on, Tim. I appreciate it.
But, you know, it's obvious. I was going to call about California, and there have been people out there who've been talking about the issues. You Democrats, and let me start calling you that more and more. So you seem to be missing, you know, the point. I think that, you know, Arianna Huffington has been talking about, you know, the tremendous corporate tax loopholes and all that sort of stuff that have been flowing out of California that are not paying the taxes. You may not.
Oh, I know, but I haven't heard her make any specific proposals. I mean, Larry Flint actually came out with a legislative agenda.
Well, you know, good for him. I mean, obviously, you know, he's doing it as a publicity stunt, and, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, but, you know, that doesn't mean that he's going to get the kind of vote. I mean, she's made a lot of serious, you know, discussions about reforming.
Oh, I agree. I think Arianna Huffington is wonderful.
What about the Green Party candidate out there?
Tremendously respect her.
Very well. I mean, the problem with the charade is that, you know, if there are five or six, you know, serious candidates that are out there who might do, you know, who would be involved in the process in a serious debate, are certainly going to be shut out of the process because of the circus-like atmosphere.
Yeah.
But it is out there.
And you're bringing sanity back to, you know, Billy and I were basically having light with this. But you're right. This is a serious topic. There are real issues here. And I agree. Actually, I think that Arianna Huffington has the best perspective, certainly, given what I know of her, what I've read of her, and the conversations I've had with her. But
Have you read anything about the Green Party candidate, Peter Camillo?
No, I don't.
This is a man who marched with Dr. King in Alabama. He's a Latino, and he has tremendous credibility. He's also a financial analyst with doing very progressive financial management. What I'm saying, even from the so-called non-stream media, and I'm, you know, putting this network and you in that category, is you guys seem to be missing the boat that there are credible people like that who are completely being shadowed out by the circus light atmosphere, who have credibility, have tremendous Latino support in this very Hispanic state, and who have, you know, polled like he has over 5% statewide. So, you know, shame on all the media for missing the fact that people like that are out there who've been, you know, trying to, you know, bring the message home that California desperately needs reform. So
well,
I do
and shame on the Green Party
Republican.
For not making it more visible.
Pardon me?
I mean, you know, we can blame the media all day long, and we all know that the media has done a very good job of ignoring a lot of very important stories and that there are, you know, agendas at work and all that, you know, without getting too paranoid. But, you know, why hasn't Ralph Nader come out and spoken out in favor of the Green Party? Or why hasn't the Green Party?
Oh, yeah. He's done fundraisers out there for the candidate in the past election and stuff. And certainly, you know, been... The Green Party's
so
position on the recall was a neutral one, but once the die has
already been cast,
the die has already been cast in this bizarre system where the Democrats have been left themselves defenseless in this position. It's very rough. Okay, that's the music. I'll talk to you later, Tom.
Okay, thanks, Tim. I appreciate your call. This is the Tom Hartman Program. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
A real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away, between five, look at the horses, and one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
All Super 8 Motels are individually owned and operated.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here again to tell you about InPhone. I hate asking people for directions. It's embarrassing. So instead, I call InPhone. And the nice operator at InPhone gives me driving directions, phone numbers, movie times, or restaurant reservations. So cling to your independence like I do. Call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Jesse sent you. Call now. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Take a straight and stronger course to the corner of your life. Make the white queen roll so fast, she hasn't got time to make you wise.
And welcome back. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Tom Hartman here, sharing democracy in a constitutionally limited republic with you. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Oh, just a real quick note, CommonDreams.org, we mentioned a little earlier, CommonDreams.org, extraordinary website. If you go check it out, you will discover an article about this network right on its homepage today. About the IE America Radio Network. David in San Francisco. David, we just have a minute or so here in the last segment of the show. Welcome to the program. What's up?
Yeah, hi, Tom. Couple of things. During the top of the hour news on another network, I heard that Jay Leno essentially got suckered by Schwarzenegger. And you're probably well aware of the equal time provisions, right? Where
They don't exist anymore. They were blown away in 1987.
Well, apparently, according to Variety magazine or something, Jay Leno is going to be somewhat obligated to give equal time to the other candidates because Schwarzenegger essentially conned him into, he told him that he was not going to run for office, and then when he did it, he essentially suckered him by locking him into a potential really severe economic problem with equal time provisions and the Jay Leno show. So I'm just wondering if there's a way of checking on whether anybody did any put options on the corporation that owns the Jay Leno show. The other thing is I definitely got to agree with that previous caller about Peter Camejo. He's a very bright guy. I've videotaped him for a number of different debates, and he owns a wise portfolio, what's the expression for an ethical use financial portfolio company. And he's very bright. He's very astute. He's very clever about how California could have gotten out of the energy crisis and how we Gray Davis did not have to sign these very criminal contracts that he did when California.
Good
got...
point, David. David, I got to cut you off there because it's the end of the show. Thanks for the call, and I appreciate your comments and spot on. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and Joe McPherson in Georgia, and engineered by Steph Stryker, engineer extraordinaire in Detroit. Thank you for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.